Now, a couple weeks ago, my microphone was very sensitive about this white line, and it's now gone from the drama. So hopefully we'll not cross the forbidden white line today, since I can't see it. So fingers crossed that all is well with the line. But I don't know who came to the drama this weekend. We did not manage to make it because it was a little too late for Abigail, the poor little four-year-old. She goes to bed so early. But everyone I talked to said it was amazing. So if we have any of the cast from God Bless Us Everyone in here, kudos to you. I saw many pictures and you did an amazing job. And the one picture I saw on Facebook with the big morning hair, that's a picture that's going to live on forever. So, would you join me in prayer this morning as we get going? Almighty Father, I want to thank you for our opportunity this morning to come and look at the words of your prophet Jeremiah. I ask that you use them to speak to us and challenge us this morning to grow in our faith in you as we move into a new year. I pray all these things to your glory. Amen. So Thanksgiving is almost here. And I don't know what happened to November, let alone the year of 2017, but it's almost over. And I just have to say, Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. I love it because, I mean, I got some thank yous. Come on. It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, it's the only holiday that hasn't really been touched by commercialism. It's actually just been skipped. I mean, the Christmas decorations went out with the Halloween decorations this year. It's like they didn't even care about Thanksgiving, and I'm okay with that because Thanksgiving is all about spending time with friends and family and eating wonderful food and sitting around and enjoying the day and getting your afternoon nap and watching either football or the Macy's parade. It's just a wonderful day. And most people have some type of tradition about Thanksgiving, usually around what you eat, but there's also usually some spirit of thankfulness. And a lot of families will spend some time talking about what's happened in the past year and what they are thankful for. And I love that spirit of thankfulness. You know, I read this article a couple weeks ago about these studies that a lot of scientific institutions and psychological institutions did on gratefulness. And they've proven that it's beneficial to you to be grateful. It increases the oxytocin in your body, which actually means that because your oxytocin goes up, your immune system increases and you have better problem solving. It enhances your empathy, which makes you less aggressive and makes you make better responses to people who are not kind to you. It helps you sleep better. This movement in the past couple years of the gratitude journal before bed, when you reflect on your day and the good things that have happened, cause you to sleep better at night. It reduces stress and actually aids in overcoming trauma. It makes your physical health better. And people who practice gratitude with intention have proven to have less pain in their life. It improves new relationships and strengthens current relationships. And one study said that gratitude, gratefulness, and appreciation have proven to be amongst the most powerful of human emotions. I mean, I don't know about you, but hearing all of these positive things, that's the type of person I want to be friends with. They just surround you with good emotions, and you just want to be in the presence of someone that positive. But then think about the opposite of that, someone who's ungrateful, someone who's stingy, someone who complains all the time. And that's not the person you usually want to be around. Someone who would rather throw something away than give it away. As we think about this idea of grateful versus ungrateful, I want you to watch this video this morning.
Thanks. Focusing.
Arigato.
Oh, I could. Well, maybe just a bite.
Oh, yeah! All right!
Don't forget the interest.
The pie.
Pretty easy for us on this side of that table to say, well, of course, God should have gotten some of the pie. It was his pie. Who lets someone bring pie and that doesn't give them a piece of the pie? Is that very grateful? No. But how many times do we get to the end of the pay period or the end of the month and realize we don't have anything left? And then 1 month turns to 2 months, and 2 months turns to three, and we realize that we keep leaving God out of our pie. I'm a bit of a nerd, I just say it, when it comes to Methodist history. Not all history, just Methodist history. And I particularly like to learn about the faith story of our founder of Methodism, John Wesley. John Wesley is really well known for his three rules of money: gain all you can, save all you can, and give all you can. Well, in my research for this sermon, I found a story that I've never heard about John Wesley and his journey. And I'd like to share it with you because this happened really early in his life, like before his ministry really ever began, and he was a very young man, and this formed his whole opinion of money. And Wesley had just pretty much gotten out of school and just started as a professor at Oxford, where he had graduated. And as a young single man, he was making more than he needed to be single. And in his prosperity, he was spending his money on playing cards, tobacco, and brandy. And so one evening in Oxford, he had just finished paying to put some artwork on the walls in his room. And it was a cold winter day. A chambermaid came and knocked on his door. And when he opened it, he noticed that she just had a thin cotton gown on. That's all she had to separate herself from the cold. So Wesley put his hand down in his pocket to give her some money. And he realized he had far too little left to give her after spending what he had. Immediately, the thought struck him that the Lord was not pleased with the way he had spent his money. So he asked himself, "Will thy master say, 'Well done, good and faithful steward, thou hast adorned thy walls with the money which might have screened this poor creature from the cold'?" O justice, O mercy, are not these pictures the blood of this poor maid? This event dramatically affected how he viewed his money, and he quickly adjusted his spending and made sure he had money left over to give to the poor. In the years that followed, Wesley's income grew dramatically as he became very successful in his preaching and writing, and he sold books all over. But he managed to keep his income the same for his cost of living. And as his income grew, his gifts to the poor grew, because he lived on the same amount every year. And he just kept giving more and more to the poor. He had no children, and so he had no one to worry about after his death, so he gave it all to the poor. Our passage this morning is an interesting one, but it's reminding me about provision. You see, God gives us everything we need in our life. He makes sure we're cared for and that we have it all. But so many times in our lives, we're convinced that we need more. We watch TV. And as we're watching our TV, a commercial comes on with the newest definition. And we discover our TV isn't good enough anymore. We need a new one. And the next thing we learn is that our car doesn't have as good enough technology anymore. It's not as safe as it should be, and we should upgrade it. Or a kid has to have the best toy for Christmas, otherwise they're not going to be competitive with their other friends, and we don't want them to be left out. They'll be scarred. We can't have that. And oh, for heaven forbid, when that new rod and reel comes out, and it tells us that it's going to make sure that fish that always gets away is not going to get away this time. We have to get that. And we start to convince ourselves that we need these things. We have to have them. After all, it's our money. We deserve it. We work hard for it. We work 30 to 40 hours a week. We should be able to spend it. Sometimes we work 50 hours a week. We should get to spend the money we've earned. It's ours. Isn't it? But if God's the one providing for us day in and day out, for his love never ceases. He's the God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Is it ours? Jeremiah the prophet wrote the book of Lamentations and is named of such because he's lamenting through most of the book, except of a small little section where our passage this morning comes from. And Jeremiah was a prophet during a time that was really hard for Israel, and they were going into exile, and he was called to speak to the people of Israel. I wouldn't want his job at his time. But he speaks at this after saying, Lord, why have you done all these things? He turns and says, the faithful love of the Lord never ends and mercy never ceases. Great is his faithfulness, and it's new each day. Jeremiah knew that God would provide, and he had such faith in the Lord, he even bought a field to come back to after exile was over. He knew God would provide. And he said, Lord, I believe in your faithfulness and provision in our lives. You know, the interesting thing about that God's pie video is that God sits at the end of the table. So by the time they divvied out the whole pie, there was nothing left. Well, that's the problem. Scripture tells us God isn't supposed to sit at the end of the table. He's supposed to be at the head of it. If we look into the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 26:2 tells us that we're supposed to give to God first. The tithe comes first. Deuteronomy 26 talks about taking the first of our harvest and taking to the house of the Lord. Now, we don't have a harvest that we bring to church anymore. Please do not bring your produce, your livestock, and so forth into church. We're not equipped for that. But what we have, our financial monetary substance, is the money. Back in the day, they traded with their goods. We don't do that anymore. But the scripture says you take your first of what you've earned. Earlier in Deuteronomy, it uses the word tithe. Now, we use this in church a lot, but tithe literally means tenth. A tenth to bring to God for the work of mercy in the church.